In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the Apostle tells us today, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. And we have much cause to rejoice, for we stand here holding palms saying, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he that comes to recall Adam. For we know that our Lord is entering into the holy city of Jerusalem to approach his passion on our behalf and to free us from the dead. And we know that he has already been victorious. It was the custom in the ancient world to greet victorious military commanders with palms and to do such things as the people did, laying their garments in the way. And so we do this, remembering what they did to him as he entered into the holy city, laying their garments in the way and greeting him with palms and branches. They also knew that he was a victor, for they had seen his victory. They had seen him give sight to the blind. They had seen him heal sicknesses, cast out demons, teach like no man had taught, and even raise the dead. And even just several days before, raise Lazarus, who had been 4 days in the tomb, something not known to anybody. They knew this, but they did not understand. For he was a different sort of victor than many of them expected. He came not on the kind of animal that most generals would ride upon, but upon a beast of burden, on a donkey. He came humbly. And yet for all his humility, the triumph could not be held in. As he said, if these were to keep silent, even the very stones would cry out. For this was the God of the universe, the God who created all things, and chose to become a man, humbly, to save us from death and from sin. The people did not understand. The apostles even did not understand. For they had been told on many an occasion by our Lord about his cross. The apostle Peter responded, far be this from thee, O Lord. The other apostles on several occasions thought among themselves, what can this thing be? They did not understand. Only later would they fully understand. As for the leaders of the Jews, the leaders of the people, they did not understand. They did not have eyes to see. And yet there was one thing they did understand. They knew that he was not the leader that they wanted, because he was not coming for what they desired to occur. Many of the people desired a military leader to throw off the captivity of the Romans, the foreign occupying force in their land. These leaders wished that as well. They did not wish for someone who would take away their leadership on their terms. For they were imprisoned to pride and glory and vanity. These leaders won in the short term. For several days later, all the people, all these crowds who cried, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, shouted, crucify him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. Why did they do this? I submit that if we had been there, most of us would have done exactly the same. For they did this. They did this as a reflection of the choices they made every day inside. Who is this Caesar? The same Caesar that they wanted someone to deliver them from. They had hoped he had been a commander to deliver them from Caesar, and now they say, crucify him, we have no king but Caesar. They prefer the captivity to Caesar to obedience to the Lord, because they are captives to a tyrant even more oppressive inside their souls, and so are we. This tyrant is the passions that overwhelm us. To illustrate this, let's consider just one of them, the passion of anger. Anger, like all of the passions that beset us, is a terrible taskmaster. When it comes upon us and besets us, it causes us to do things, it causes us to lose control. We will lash out in our thoughts, and thoughts can inflict damage. In our thoughts, and in our words, and sometimes in our actions, at those whom we love most dearly. Knowing all the while what exactly it is that we are doing, and that we are hurting people that we love, and yet we keep doing it because this passion has taken us over. lose our freedom. We lose our freedom to do what we want to do and what we know is right. We lose our peace. A peace that only returns partially when we ask forgiveness, which is very hard to do, or when we run to God in humility for help. The Lord calls us to be victors over this passion. And He has given us the power and the ability to do this. That is the victory that He comes to bring on the cross. In our lives, it plays out something like this. We have this, something irritates us. We have this passionate suggestion to get angry, to harbor resentment in our minds, to yell, to scream perhaps, to throw something even. And we know we want to resist it. We know it's wrong. But we fail in our resistance because we're weak. Because we don't have the strength to overcome it without His help. If in resisting, we do not rely on ourselves, but ask for His help and call Him, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, help me. Have mercy on me, for O Lord, for I am weak. He will come to our aid and He will fight for us and He will win. We don't like to undergo this battle because it involves humbling ourselves before Him, or it involves constantly making this choice of the will. This choice comes and we have to say, no, I don't want to get angry. I'm going to choose not to. But then it comes again and again, and we have to make this choice of the will, and we're lazy on our wills. And so the easy thing to do is just to give in. To give in and get angry, or whatever other passion is assailing us. And so the path that is easiest, the path of least difficulty, is the path which we choose far too often. In other words, we choose to remain enslaved to the passion. Just as these people cried out, choosing to remain enslaved to Caesar. And so we're faced with a choice. The Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in what? Rejoice in the Lord. This rejoicing, as we wave these palms, can be in the Lord who comes to free us from sin and from death and from the devil. Or it can be merely as the people, as many of the people did, in who they wanted the Lord to be rather than who He was. Rejoicing in the hope for someone who would be, as some people say, the great gumball machine in the sky, who gives them whatever they want and doesn't come to bring that true freedom, who doesn't ask them to change and become free from these passions that assail them. But He comes to give us peace. These commanders of the Lord, these empires, these social pressures around us do not demand of us. For the world around us does not ask us to stop being angry in our souls. The world around us does not care if we have peace in our souls, as long as we behave ourselves externally. Of course, if we go beyond a certain point, then we're thrown out of society or we're punished. But there's no real concern for us inside to make us have peace and joy and happiness. That only the Lord comes to bring. And so that is what we celebrate now as our Lord approaches His passion. So let us rejoice in the Lord. The apostle in the remainder of the reading goes on to spell out what exactly that means. Let your moderation be known to all men. Whatsoever things are good, pure, holy, of good report, think on these things. Be anxious for nothing, but let your concerns be known to the Lord. He calls us to perfection, to be what He is, rather than to be all these things that assail us and take us captive, to be what we know in our hearts to be true. And so let us strive to rejoice in Him for who He is and who He says He is and who He has made us to be. How can we do this? Some practical things we can do each and every day. Pray. Say the Our Father several times a day. Pray at least a little bit. At least, Lord, have mercy upon arising in the morning and before going to bed. Read the Scriptures, even if it's 3 minutes a day, looking for a description of who our Lord is and what He asks of us and how we can have this peace which He brings. When the temptation comes, when you're faced with a situation where you feel this impulse to do something that you know is wrong, don't. Resist and ask Him for help, because without His help, your resistance is futile. And When you fall, as inevitably you will, for our habits become firm in us, and oftentimes we choose to give in to the passion, for example, of anger, before we even notice the choice, because we've made the wrong choice so many times in our life we do without thinking, then the solution is still given to us by our Lord. Run to Him, fall down before Him in repentance, say, Lord, have mercy on me, it's my fault that I have fallen. And run to holy confession. Receive grace. Receive grace to get better. Receive the grace of the holy mysteries of confession and communion, so that the next time you will notice before it is too late and have time to say no and ask His help. This week provides us a wonderful opportunity to see all these things, to see who the Lord is, for He reveals to us who He is this week at no other time. For He comes now showing us love. As He Himself says, no greater love hath a man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And He comes to lay down His life for us, to endure spitting and suffering and persecution and reviling and a horrible death, and to lie dead in the tomb for our sakes. And so we see who He is in all of its brilliance, and we can rejoice truly in Him, gazing upon Him in the tomb. So let us come this week. We will gather and we will hear this coming Thursday night the entire story of His passion. And we will meditate upon it in hymns, standing before our Lord who is crucified for us. On Saturday night, we will stand in awe, hymning our God, the source of life, who lies dead in the tomb. And then, when we gather together next week, in the middle of the night, to celebrate the Holy Feast of Pascha, our rejoicing will be in the Lord, for who He is, and not merely in the bright lights, the brilliant vestments, the beautiful hymns and the rich foods. For our Lord does come. He comes in the name of the Lord. He comes into the city of Jerusalem. He comes to the cross and the grave and the resurrection to give us the image which He created in us on the first day, to give us everything that is good, pure, peaceful, joyous, all of those things. To Him be all glory and honor and worship unto the ages of ages. Amen.